Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your saving grace, Lord. Thank you for your amazing love for us. And Father, now as we are gathered here, Lord, we just want to lift up your name. We want to praise your name. Thank you, Lord, that you decide to use us, Lord. A bunch of old trucks, Lord, that we feel like we can't be used, Lord, but you want to use us, and you've gathered us here together, Lord. So as we come to your word now, Lord, help us to hear what you want to speak. I pray that any words that I speak this morning, Lord, would be your words, that we look at our own lives and see how we can apply this passage today, Father. So help us in this time, Lord. We push away anything that is not of you, Lord, any distraction, anything that comes that is trying to push you out, Lord. You are here with us, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. Welcome as well. My name is Andrew, and I am the associate pastor here, and I am excited to bring the word again for us here. We are definitely shifting gears today. We've been in Revelation, you know, for a little while, for a few weeks, with some messages that have had all sorts of symbols and the kaleidoscope of visions, and it's been great. I know we've all been enjoying it, and we'll continue to get more of Revelation, but now we're going to have a shifting gears in a message that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart, a message that is about why we're here. Why do we even gather in this place? Why are we here at all? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The idea that there are such a beauty in the bride of Christ, but in our world, in the culture, lately we've seen a lot of people aren't going to church anymore. There's all sorts of reasons why that is, and we're going to talk about a few of them this morning, but I want to talk about getting back to why are we here. And this may seem like some basic stuff, you know, we come here to worship and but it's good to get back to the basics. It's good to get back to these foundational things and to think about why we are even gathered here. So this is all kind of stemmed out of, words come to me. I love using words. And so a phrase has come to my mind lately as I've been praying and thinking about small group, and I've been thinking about our church ministry as a whole. And it's just two words, and it's worth it. Worth it. Meaning that there are things that are going to get in our way that are sacrifices at our times, or things that are going to try to keep us away from church. It can be hard sometimes, and we acknowledge that. Life gets busy and all sorts of things, but it is worth it. What matters most, and that's what I want to talk about today. You know, we've all probably been in a circumstance like this where you are driving, you know, maybe on 28A or maybe in Edmonton on the Anthony Henday, whatever it is, and you're driving and you're focused and you're going to a destination, but in front of you is a driver who seems to be kind of driving erratic, you know, kind of like going in and out of the lanes and like, what's going on? You're just trying to get safely to your destination, and this car in front of you just kind of seems to be swerving like this. And you look, get a little closer to this vehicle, and this happened to me actually recently when we were driving to Edmonton, and you see that the person in front of you is on this, right? Looking down, trying to drive, look down, texting. And therefore, their eyes are getting focused on the phone, and they're getting focused on traffic, and they begin to swerve. Their eyes get off of what they're supposed to be focused on, the road in front of them, and they begin to swerve. Swerving can be dangerous, right? Swerving can actually lead to death. If you are driving and you swerve in the wrong way, a lot of accidents happen that way. Swerving can be dangerous, and we're going to look at a passage today, just a few short little verses. This can be maybe a shorter time, and that's okay to be in the Word, just with a few verses here. And it's in the book of Hebrews is where we are today. And there's only two verses here, but I believe there's a lot of truth for us here. There's a lot of encouragement, a lot of exhortation, another word we use for encouragement for us today. So Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. In your blue Bibles there, it's page 1039. So you can just turn there. But swerving gets us off the path. You know, and you're in and you're out. And there are things in this world that happens to us. And it happens when it comes to our church life. And it happens when it comes to being connected to the ministries that we have. And it can be dangerous. Because the church is a beautiful thing. The church is a beautiful thing. The fact, it goes back to the old trucks idea, the fact that this was Jesus' plan. Church is Jesus' idea. He created it. He gave us a wonderful gift. And that's each other. That's each other, to be together. I love being part of the church. I've grown up in the church. And I love it because it is a family. That's one of the words that I use all the time and that I've seen here in about the 6 or so months we've been here now, is that it is a family. Family supports each other, encourages each other, speaks truth at times that might be hard. It is a family. And this is the joy that we have, is to be gathered as family. So this passage is the one that came to my mind as I'm thinking about it being worth it, as I'm thinking about why it's important to gather together. And you probably have maybe heard this passage before, but we're just going to walk through these two verses here. In Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." See that word there, unswervingly. Unswervingly is the opposite of swerving. Unswervingly means that it is steady, it is constant. You're on a direct path. Devotion is a word we could use for unswervingly. And the writer of Hebrews here, he's writing to Christians who used to be Jews, and they're trying to, some of them are trying to shrink back and go back to their being a Jew. As we've talked about in Revelation, we've seen that. And so he's encouraging them. He's saying, no, let us hold on to the hope we've been given, to the one who is faithful to us. He's writing to them to continue to encourage them. Keep gathering together. Keep worshiping the one who's given us hope. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. This is kind of the core of what I want to share this morning. What he's saying there is there's some who gave up on meeting together. And you could say, well, so what? As I said, in our world, we've seen that is a rising trend. All sorts of things are happening where church attendance is going down. But that is not a good thing. It is not a good thing to get in the habit of giving up. Another word you could use is neglect. Some translations say that. Neglect in meeting together. Because brothers and sisters, if we do that, here's what we actually are giving up. We're giving up encouragement. We're giving up motivation and help from other Christians that we need. We're giving up being able to gather together and edify and build each other up. We're giving up a lot of things if we decide to not meet together. And I know this message may be saying like, well, we are the ones who are gathered here. This is an encouragement to keep gathering here because there are seasons in our life where church goes from here to down here. Why is that? Why is it that church loses when it comes to priorities? You know, on the title screen I had there is what matters most. And when we look at this issue of gathering together and coming to church, is it a high priority in your life? Or do other things come in and do other things push it out and therefore it's like, ah, it's just church. We'll get back there next week or a couple weeks and we'll be away for a while and then we'll come back. And in doing that, we are missing out on so much. You know, even now, you could stay home, as we even mentioned. We have our sermons online. You could stay home and Monday morning be like, well, I'm just going to put on, you know, my pajamas on Monday morning and turn on the sermon. I'm just going to watch from there. In our world of technology, you have that opportunity now. But you're missing so much when you do that. And I want to put up a few reasons here on a slide here in a moment, but you are missing so much. You are missing the beauty of family together. Don't we live in a world where there's so much isolation now? We even talked about it with dinner with us. People are lonely. People are hurting and they're lonely and they don't have others around them and they're isolated. We live in a world where it's so much self now. You can do everything without even interacting. Interaction is slowly going away. When you go to Walmart or Costco, you don't even need to barely talk to anyone anymore. Even at that checkout line, you have self-checkout now, right? When you go to pump your gas, you don't even need to go inside and talk to the person. You can just swipe your card. You can shop online. You don't even need to go to malls anymore. And we've seen a trend now in churches where they're beginning to be like, you can just have church at home. That's fine. Is that really truly church? If you're sitting there, there could be an argument about that, but I argue that it is not. That this is the gathering that we need. This is the gathering that we need. The phrase there is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. The key word is us. Us. Together. Let us do these things. Spur one another on. It's saying actually, let us consider how we may do that. That means let us take time and think about that. How are you doing at spurring one another on? Spurring one another on. How are you doing it and encouraging and helping and supporting the people that are around you right now? Because we know in this room right now there are all sorts of various things going in all of our lives. And some are really good and some are really bad. And so we are here. This is an opportunity we have in this place to encourage one another. Now, if you see someone who is down, and we were sharing this in the Welcome Ministries meeting last week, if you see heaviness on someone, we've been given the Holy Spirit, right? Who guides, who directs us, who leads us. If the Holy Spirit is showing you, you need to go to that person and just hug them or pray for them or just talk with them or smile, whatever it may be, we need to do that. Because we know that we all don't come in these doors with everything perfect and rosy in our lives. And that's not the way this should be. This is broken people coming together, going through pain, maybe going through a mountain that is good, but we all are going through something. And so those who may be going well in life and strong need to lift up the weak. Amen? Those who are struggling, we need to wrap our arms around them. And that is the beauty of the body of Christ. We need to take time to think about that. Because it clearly says here, some are in the habit of doing, not gathering together. It's a bad habit. It's a bad habit to miss church. You think of all sorts of things that are bad habits, and it just continues, and it gets worse and worse. And you're like, well, I'm just going to miss this week, and then I'll miss that. And then soon you are in a habit of gathering, of not gathering together. And then the storms come. And you feel isolated, and you feel alone, because you've detached yourself from this beautiful, wonderful family. I want to encourage you today, in those hard times that come, in those times where you feel like you're in the pit, like Psalm 40 talks about, and you're in the pit and you're all by yourself, you need the body. There's going to be all sorts of things that are going to come at you, and that's the enemy speaking. The enemy, we've been talking about him last week, calling him out. He doesn't want you to be here. He wants you to stay in that pit. He wants you to remain hopeless. He wants you to remain disconnected and isolated. You need to tell that enemy where to go, and you need to come here. As hard as that is, as I know it's like, well, I don't want attention, and I know I don't know what to say, and all those things, just enter in. Just enter in. I feel like this is something the Lord's laid in my heart to share this morning. Enter into this body. Dive in when the world is crashing down on you, and you will find support, and you will find love, and you will find care. We need to spur, and we need to stir one another. You can't do the one another's that talk that Scripture talks about if you're not with one another. How can I spur you on? We're talking about the idea of old trucks and the illustration Pastor Brent gave about the old truck. If I have an old truck that I can lend you, is something that, you know, is an example of something I can give you, and I'm not here to give you the keys, what's the point? What's the point then? You know, it's actually, if you decide to just stay home and miss church, it's actually laziness to a point of you have no idea how God wants to use you here. You may have a word of encouragement. I know many here have the gift of encouragement, and I've been encouraged by many of you here. And you have the gift of encouragement. Someone comes to these doors who needs that, and you're not here. You are actually hurting the body by the gifts that we've all been given. If you're not present to be able to use your gifts, doesn't that just make sense? So here's just a few excuses to not attend. We're talking about church. We're going to talk about small groups here as well. Too tired. Too busy. Too challenging with kids for church or for small group, and just don't feel like it. There's a huge list that we can keep putting here, but I just want to talk about this. Too tired. I get it. I'm a father of four. I've got many things going on. All of us have various things going on, and our bodies get tired and they get worn out. I know the times where I'm the most tired, and I come to church at the end of it. It's not just the coffee. It's the people that help lift me up, and I have energy again. Maybe you've had that experience. The enemy is going to try to use that fatigue and tiredness to keep you in your bed. And then you're going to miss out on the teaching and the preaching and the gathering of us together. Don't let tiredness and fatigue keep you from here. Say, Lord, I need you right now. I need your energy. I'm exhausted. The kids are up all night. I've been working all week overtime. Help me, Lord. He'll help you. He wants you to be here. I think the biggest one we could put on here is too busy. We have so much going on. We live busy lives. I've used this phrase to a detriment as I think of it now. Oh, I'm so crazy busy. We don't even say busy anymore. We say we're crazy busy. How many have said you're crazy busy? Maybe even the last week. Oh, I'm crazy busy. Meaning the busyness is literally making you crazy. This is a time of focus. It's why we have silence at the beginning of our services usually, so we can focus in. You're too busy to gather and worship the King of Kings. You're too busy to come and encourage and build one another up. You're too busy to hear from the Word of God. Let me tell you, this is all that matters. All that other stuff, it may be good stuff, it may be family, and I know I might be poking at some things here. You may be gathering with family instead of gathering here. You need to bring your family and gather here with the family. There are times where we're away. There are times where we're sick, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the times where we know we should be in church, and we're not going. Kids, I absolutely understand this as a father of four. Getting kids ready and getting them in the vehicle and getting here can be like an Olympic sport that you feel like you're losing. I understand. Just get your jacket on. Like, come on, let's get in the van. You throw them in sometimes almost. Let's get there. I understand that. Children are a gift from the Lord, and they can be hard to wrangle in sometimes, okay? But our kids need to be here in church too. They need to have the teaching in G-Force. They need to have the leaders come around and encourage them. They need to see the example that we're setting. Bring your kids to church, even if they don't have their jacket on. Just bring them here because it's so important. And this is where it gets challenging with small groups. And I know that kids in a small group, we see them as a distraction. First of all, God doesn't see kids as a distraction. He says, let the little children come. But I understand kids can be a distraction in small groups with discussion. And so something we're going to try is I've been listening and learning our culture here and talking to people is there's a need for a group that has supervised child care. Where parents can still come at a time that's going to be child-friendly because bedtimes, you know, I know. We're not going to take the kids to small group because they're going to be crazy tomorrow. The fact is, they might be. But it's worth it. It's worth it. That's what we're talking about today. And so we're going to try to have a pilot project after Easter. It's going to be 4 weeks. And if you want to be in that group, you got small kids and you want to go to small group or you're wrestling with it, come chat with me, because we're going to begin to get the wheels on this so that that's not a reason you stay away. Just don't feel like it. Come even when you don't feel like it. You probably need it. I know the times where I don't feel like going to things, like, oh, I don't feel like it. There's been times like that where it's like, it's small group tonight, I'm like, oh, I just don't feel like it. I've said that, to be honest, and be authentic with you. And those are the times that are the most amazing. When you actually go and you push through that feeling and emotion, and sometimes there can be spiritual warfare in there too. Go even when you don't feel like it. I promise you, you will be blessed. You will be encouraged. You will be lifted up. Reasons to attend, and somebody's already talked about, the fellowship, the gathering together is so important to spur one another on. Encouragement and support. If you need that, you receive it here. I pray, that's what we pray for our bodies. We're a welcoming, encouraging place. And when it comes to small groups, the deeper study on the Word, getting into it more, especially in the book of Revelation we've been in, sharing the struggles and the burdens of one another, casting our cares on the Lord and also to others, and say, look, I'm going through a tough week right now. And just spiritual growth. Discipleship is what this is all about. You can't go through discipleship if you're not gathering with the people. So here's a picture here. I love sports. You know, I love football, basketball, all sorts of metaphors here. So here's a picture of the coach in the locker room before the game. Right? Hyping them up, giving the strategy, getting all excited. If you've been on a sports team or a football team, you've probably been in a locker room like this. We see it in sports movies, all sorts of scenes like that. This is a picture of what we're doing right now. You know, when you could call us, you know, the coaches as the pastors here, giving the teaching, leading, stirring one another on, encouraging each other. I love this picture because it's just gathered together. That's what this is. This is a picture of church on a Sunday. It's the locker room. You know, the game is life. The game is the things that are happening all out beyond our buildings and our ministry. That's life. Life is the game, but this is the locker room talk. This is when we gather together and we put our arms around each other and we say, hey, what's the plan? What's the strategy? What's the enemy going to be bringing against this? That's what we've been talking about. And then as we talk about small groups, there's a classic picture of the Edmonton Eskimos. This is a huddle. You know, in a football game, in between plays, you huddle up with the quarterback and you go over the plays and what's the next play, and you are encouraging each other and you're all together in a huddle. This is a picture of small groups. Throughout the week, as you're getting to those hard places, you gather once again. That's the beauty of small groups. You gather once again, you huddle up. You receive some direction, some instruction, some encouragement, so that there's multi points of connection to our family throughout the week. So Sundays, like the locker room talk, and the rest of the small group time is like this huddle. I think it's a good picture for us to see. A good picture for us to see of what that means, because if there's a word I can use for small groups, it's deeper. This is great. Sunday morning. Small groups should never replace Sunday morning. It should be an addition to. We need both, though. Because small groups deepen our relationship with God, with each other, with the Word. I know those of you who have in small groups, you've gone through things in your life and that small group has been there for you. They've listened, they've prayed, they've encouraged, they've challenged you in the Word of God. It deepens. It deepens in many ways. One thing you may not know about me is that I also work for Google on the side. Maybe you guys didn't know that. But they have a program, Google has a program called Local Guides. And I've been doing this for about a year or so. And this is where you, as a regular person, can just give reviews. So when I go to a restaurant or I go anywhere, it pops up and it says, you want to review this? You put, you know, 1 to 5 stars. You can put a little review. It's a point system. You don't get paid by Google for it, unfortunately, but you just get to, you do it for fun. And I like this because I like sharing feedback with others. You know, when I buy a product, I like looking at the reviews and saying, okay, what are people saying about this? so that I can, if I have a great experience at a restaurant, I can share it with someone else and be like, you should really go there. It's worth it. It's worth your money. It's worth your time. You should check it out. Or if it's a disaster, I want to try to help keep people away from it, right? And that's kind of what being a Google guide is. It's kind of fun. It's giving recommendations to either go to or stay away from. Well, this morning as I was talking about this, thinking about this idea of sharing it's worth it, about small groups as a focus in church, I thought, what better way than just me up here talking and preaching to actually have people who are leading and part of a small group to come up and give testimony. That's why we have chairs here. And to share kind of like a Google review idea of like, this is why. This is why I go to small group. This is why it's worth it to push through those things. This is what has happened in small groups for me. So I'm going to invite up, we're going to have the Mulligans here. We're going to come up. And Adrian and Tracy, if they're here, I hope. Yeah, Adrian's coming up. So those of you who don't know, Adrian is an elder and has been involved in small groups for many years here. And so he's just going to come up. And we're just going to chat about his experience with small group, with leading small group. And Tracy's coming in here. Tracy does a lot of awesome work with our food stuff here and coffee in our church. And they're just servants of the Lord. And so just to have a conversation here about small group. And this way you get a perspective from those who are actually in it. I've been very blessed, I just want to say as well, with attending the small groups in my role. I wanted it to be where I actually go and I can see what's going on. And I've been super encouraged. I've been prayed for. I've prayed for others. I've been in the Bible studies. And it's amazing to see what God is doing. And I was able to go to the Mulligans group a few weeks ago. And we got chatting after the small group about small group. And I was sharing that this message is coming, and as we're sharing, and I was hearing Adrian and Tracy's heart and their experience, I began to just say, I think you need to share on Sunday morning. I kind of felt like this is exactly kind of what we wanted to chat about. So first of all, Adrian, if you just want to talk about, and Adrian, Tracy, what's your experience with small group? How long have you been in a small group? Just regular, not as a leader, but.
Since I'm Adrian, I guess in the first time we came to church, basically, so, yeah. And he's like, you have to be in small group. I'm like, nah, I think that's a little too touchy-feely for me. Like, I don't want to hold hands and sing Kumbaya. Like,
yeah,
that's
sometimes.
Good.
Yeah, that's sometimes what we think, right? Like, I know I've heard a friend say it before, too. It's like, I don't want to get together and do that, like, but, yeah.
But it's been, like, 14 years.
14 so, years.
Yep, they roped us in, and we started going, and it's been really good. It's been pretty crazy.
That's awesome.
I think we've been attending for 16 now, I think. And it would have been, so it's 14, 15 years. So yeah, it's been quite a while, and I think we've been leading 9 or 10
okay.
years.
That's awesome. First of all, thank you for your service in leading that. We need leaders. It's not easy to be a leader. It's not easy to be a leader. I want to encourage us as well to pray for our leaders because you're working, you're doing all sorts of things, and then you need to get your house prepared. You need to make sure that you have the questions ready. It's a lot, but once again, it's worth it, right?
I would just say, like, leading for me, it actually isn't, I don't know if we truly lead. We maybe facilitate. We read questions that you send, but we, as a group, we lead ourselves through it. So if you're worried about being the focal point in a small group, you're really not. You're just part of the group. Or at our group, we're not. We would host more than we would lead, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. And just facilitating the discussion together. And and discussions go all sorts of which ways in small groups, and that's good sometimes too. Things come up, and as the Spirit leads, and you go and facilitate that conversation. What would you say is your favorite part of being part of a small group? What do you really like about it? What do you love about it?
I love being able to host and share and that kind of stuff, but physically leading or being kind of that point person, I think as you get that little tiny back door into those people's lives, you know, you get little texts throughout the week or things pop up in my head that I get to know what their schedule's kind of like or what they're doing in the week, and I can all of a sudden pray for them during that time or something that comes up, or, you know, just the little things throughout life. It's nothing, it's not the great big monumental things. It's the little tiny things throughout the week that kind of keep you going, and you get that little text and you're like, oh, that was good. Or somebody needs prayer and you can be like, okay, this is on our hearts, this is what we're doing, and it becomes a group thing, or it's just Adrian and I get to know a little bit more than everybody else because they share those little tidbits with you because you're their go-to person.
Right.
And that's what makes it more special. That's what brings it together as to, it's not just a big, small group. It's, like you said, it's the huddle part. Like, this is church, this is whatever. This is your huddle. This is your, that's a right. little bit closer, more intimate. You get to know those people.
Yeah, I like that, the phrase you just used there, Tracy, like you have a go-to person, you have someone that you know you can rely on, you can text, you can reach out to, and the group surrounds you, even throughout the week as you're not there to pray for and stuff. That's fantastic, yeah.
Without a doubt for me, it's the people that I'm closest to in my life are people that I've been in small group with, because you share those intimate things that are going on, and you understand that you're not alone in the struggles that you have. Mm. Everybody's having those struggles, and they're on different spots on their walk in those struggles, so they can right. help us where we are, and we can help them where they are. And
yeah.
and it is, without a doubt, it's the relationships that we've built through small groups. That's the absolutely. Most important thing about a small group to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the relationship side is what small group is all about, right? It's about the connection. It's about the getting to know one another and being able to pray for one another. That's a beautiful thing. We have relationship here still, right? Like, but if all your relationship is in connection to people is our 2-minute mingle, then you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on all sorts of deeper connections that could really benefit your walk. You know, Christianity is not something we should do alone, right? So if you were to tell someone here who isn't involved in a small group, maybe has been thinking about it or is on the fence, the whole idea we're talking about today is it's worth it. What would you say, why is it worth it?
I love how he gets to think about it while I just have to go. Because if you know Adrian and I, what we just said previously is we're not those people. We're not touchy-feely people. We're not, we're more introverted. We kind of like doing our own thing. So that in itself is a statement to us as how important this stuff is, because it really, it makes an impact. It does. It's just that getting to know people and, I forgot the main question.
Just why is it worth it? Why is it worth it to, yeah, to push through those things that get in our way we're talking about? Why is it worth it to go?
That's what keeps you going. Like during the week, the Sunday thing is you get fed by different knowledge and this brings you closer together. It's, I think, what brings the hands and feet together in different purposes, and you can grow and do different things better in your church and better in your community. Mm. And in the last, I don't know, 10, 13 years kind of thing, there's been so many days where you're running around on Wednesday, and there was some groups that I remember being, I would work on Wednesday nights. The kids were still little. You barely had time to finish work, turn around. We were basically scarfing food down in the van on the way because we were leading at somebody else's house. And you always think, oh my goodness, like, are we going to be able to get this done? I don't have time. There's so many other things I need to get done. We never left empty-handed. Mm. We would get there. We'd have the group and we're just like, ah, like, I needed that. Whether I had to rush right through the day, we barely ate and you just went with it. There was never a day you're like, gee, I wish I didn't go when I got this stuff done. You always left filled up and with peace and you were like, that was awesome. So glad we did that. That worked really well. Or, you know what? I came thinking I had to give something tonight, and I was the one who got because somebody else gave to us, and we're in a different group. Each year is a different group, so everything changes. The dynamic changes. Different people come in, and you're like, I don't know how we're going to do this group. Like, we're the young ones in this group, and I feel like I can't relate, or I don't know. And those are the ones that totally turn around. Like, in those years, you're like, oh my goodness, God put exactly who we needed, where and when. Right. And it wasn't us giving to somebody else. They give back to us, and we learn so much. So, and that's where it's not, you're not leading, you're not facilitating, you're a part of it. And that's that is the biggest impact, I think, why we keep doing what we do, is God sets those things up. Absolutely. We don't. And we're not there just to meet and check off a little list. God facilitates the whole thing and brings who you need when.
Mm.
And I think that's the biggest thing.
It's awesome. Thank you, Tracy.
For me, it'd be very similar. I know in the moment, it's hard, and sometimes it is difficult to get there because you got so many things going on. But I know when I look back, you can always see God working through us. And I've never left a group and felt empty. I've always taken something away, and I needed that. I needed that pause button. I needed someone else to put their hand on my shoulder and say, it'll be okay, you'll get through this, or whatever your situation is. So, yeah. And for me, again, it's about relationships. I've picked up so many small pieces about walking through life, through marriage, through being a father, through just being a follower of God, that maybe the person who said it didn't, it wasn't this monumental thing, but it stuck with me. Hmm. And that's a pretty important part about this walk. Sunday morning is the locker room thing, and you need it, but there's so many places to get fed all week, but there isn't a place to huddle up with the other people who are going through life that can be difficult at times with. So that's the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you guys once again for being able to share this morning, being willing to, and for your leadership. And if you want to get involved in a small group, I'm just going to say right now is come and chat with me, because you'll be able to plug into exactly what Adrian and Tracy are talking about, of the connection, the relationship, the digging deeper in the Word, and all the benefits and value that come from small groups. So please come chat with me or chat with them, and we'd love to do that. But yeah, thank you guys so much. I just want to invite up our next guest here is Dave Bumphrey. If you just want to come up here, Dave. I've been having the pleasure of getting to know Dave over the last little while here. And I wanted to have not only perspective of a leader, but also someone who's been involved in small group. If we just put up that other slide there too, just have an image there just to put up there. Small groups, there, because life is better when you're doing it together. That's exactly what we're talking about here. But I wanted to get someone who also is newish to small groups, which Dave kind of is, and we'll chat about that here in a second, and get a perspective on, from you, Dave, on small groups. So first of all, just a little bit about you. How long has it been since you've come to Sturgeon Alliance Church, and how did you come here in the first place?
Many of you know, I lost both my parents, and then I lost my son in a tragic accident.
I'm just going to turn this on for you. Sorry. Sorry. There you go. Sorry.
Adrian, shut it off.
I lost my son in a bad accident, which also destroyed my 30-year marriage. And my life just kind of spiraled out of control. And God put Jeff or Fred Rozelski in my path. Mm. And Fred helped me out a lot. He invited me to church. Mm. So I thought, I got nothing to lose. Check it out. They say that you don't choose the church chooses you. Mm. And as soon as I walked through those doors, I felt at home. That awesome. This is my home.
Yeah.
And it's been at least a year and a half.
Year and a half.
Being here. So.
Yeah. And how did you get plugged in? So that was coming to the actual church body, to the coach before the game type thing. How did you get plugged into small groups? How did that happen? Was it easy? Was it how did you get connected
it was
quickly with that?
Pretty easy. I'm good friends with Darren Ruth, and I went to one or two of his last year.
Okay.
As you said, I was busy, and I just made it to a couple.
Yeah.
This year, I just made it like, this is what I have to do. I'm going to Jeff and Arda and DeHans, and
excellent.
It's priority.
Priority. So how do you make it a priority? Because I know you're busy with work and life in general. What things would you say to, as tips to, how do you make it that it's a non-negotiable? I know you said that when we met. It's a non-negotiable for Sundays for you, for a small group.
Well, it's kind of like breathing. You have to breathe. You have to do this.
Hmm.
You have to... I don't know. You you have to be honest with yourself. Like, am I gonna go? I don't know. But
yeah,
you get off your butt and you go. It's definitely it's worth it.
It's worth it for sure. Absolutely.
100%.
And off that question, why would you say it's worth it? What do you really enjoy about small group? What has been a benefit for you as being part of one?
You get to become like a small family. Like each one of us, you have each other's backs. If you're having a bad day, you can send out a text, hey, I need prayer for this. Boom, got, anywhere from four to however many.
Yeah, support system,
which is very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And it's just, I kind of got misled there.
Well, that's good. How has it helped with even like your knowledge of the Word and things like that, digging deeper into the Word as part of small groups, right?
What I like about that is, like, if you guys are preaching on Sunday, we can't stop you in the middle of your sermon and say, whoa, hold on, I don't understand this.
Right.
Can you explain this better?
Mm.
Whereas in small group, you can tear it apart, mm. and you can get into the deep part of it. And it's really neat to hear everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it's all kind of like around about the same opinion, but it's a little bit different.
Different views yeah. and different perspectives. Yeah, I love that when I'm going to small groups to hear the different views and perspective and life experiences and be able to share and hear those things respectfully and also just discussion, right? That's yeah. a big part of small group is the discussion. And has it helped you? You know, we talked about this morning about when the hard times come. How is small group? You know, you mentioned the losses you've gone through, Dave. Has small group been a help, and how has it been a help in those?
Oh, it's been a huge help. Like I just passed my son's birthday. He would have been 25.
Okay.
And it was a hard day. It was mm-hmm. a very, very hard day. And I had everybody from small group. They prayed for me, and it helped me through it.
Yeah,
it's it helped me through. So
it helps you. I mean, exactly. Small group helps you along, right? The people 100%. That you have help you along, and it's wonderful. So, thank you, Dave, so much for being able to share your experiences and being able to talk with us this morning. That too. So thank you so much. So that's what I want to encourage us this morning with, is again to remember why we do this, why we come together, why it is worth it. That there are things that make it challenges, absolutely, but it is worth it because it's the things that last. You know, this passage talked about as we prepare for the day. The day is what we're reading in Revelation. The day that Jesus returns triumphantly again, that we need to be all the more prepared to disciple one another, to build each other up, to support one another as we are gathered together. We're waiting to be taken again, to be brought up with our Father. We're the bride. We're the bride of Christ. And so I encourage you to get plugged in. If you're not in a small group, get plugged in. I hope you've heard this morning that it is absolutely worth it. Keep coming to church, even in the rough, difficult times. Absolutely, more so in those times. And as you're here, let the Lord use you to encourage and to spur and stir one another on. So I just want to invite the worship team up here for a closing song this morning.